So can we really believe whatever we want to believe about Jesus, about God, and His will, and still be Christian? I mean, think about this a bit. What's that? Don't I want to do the intro? Of course I want to. I didn't do it? Sorry about that, guys. I'm really into this. This is incredibly important stuff. Okay, here we go, people. The Luther Canon intro coming to you right now. Hit it, John. Ah, there it is. Now, isn't that great? You've got to admit it. I mean, seriously. Da-da-da-da. Da-da-da-da. You know, I really like this stuff. Keep it going, John. Come on, all you people out there. Let's get into this. Yeah. This is the real McCoy. I see all you people in your offices out there. Come on, start dancing around your desks. Come on, ladies. You can do it. That's right. Form a line around your boss. He'll eventually smile. Come on, boss. He's been hiding out in his office too long anyway. I'm telling you, that was good. If that didn't set the tone for this broadcast, I don't know what would. Okay, now maybe we can start this broadcast. We got all you people limbered up out there. Now it's time to exercise our minds and hearts. Yeah, grab a cup of coffee and a sandwich. It's okay. We've got to have some fun here. Relax a bit. Kick back. I'm going to engage your minds a bit, so we've got to make this somewhat entertaining. These truths are way too important to be presented with a dry, monotone academics. These things are going to dominate the world scene soon, and I'm wanting to bring you up to speed so it doesn't hit you like a train wreck. Hey, John, we good to go now? Yeah? Okay, good. I said a few minutes ago, can a person believe whatever he wants to believe about Jesus, about God's will, and still be a Christian? I mean, if he's Christian already, he's good to go, right? I mean, it's about Jesus. It's about God. Doesn't that make it fine? Especially if the person is really sincere about it, totally convinced it's right. Now, I want to develop this a bit, but first, let me say this. This is the kind of thinking that is right in the center of what props up our walls. Oh, yes, it is. Division in the church is so foreign to Scripture, you've got to come up with a whole bunch of artificial props just to keep the walls up and make it look oh so attractive. And hey, remember, we've had about 500 years in Protestant circles to fine-tune all this stuff and make it look reasonable, right? I mean, if it comes across all reasonable, who's going to think it's wrong? Or perhaps who's going to even care? Or who's even going to want to go there in their thinking? At least those who run it all hope. We just do our utmost best in the current system of the Christian church to dress it all up in a fine suit of clothes and just the right amount of cologne to make it look so attractive for everyone, and you're included. Oh, yes, you are, but you don't want to be. At least I hope. Okay, let's look at a scripture here, and hopefully this will make a little more sense. Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 3, Paul said, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God." Now, all my readings are going to come out of the New King James Version. No, they're not going to come out of the Message Bible or the Passion Translation. And I'd love to get into all the reasons why, but we'll leave that for another time. Anyway, Paul says Israel had a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. Now let me get a little academic here. You're going to have to allow me these little excursions into academia if we're going to truly put our faith in the truths of Scripture. Most of you out there, if not all of you, know that the New Testament was primarily written in Koine Greek, and our translators tried to carry the meaning of the original Greek text into English or whatever the language is that you speak. Well, in the process, they sometimes could have done better. And there's a whole pile of reasons for that that we're not going to get into today. But let me say this. The word Paul uses for knowledge here is epignosis, not gnosis alone, which is another Greek word meaning general knowledge. But epignosis means specific knowledge, accurate knowledge, full knowledge. Oh, Israel had a knowledge of God, all right, and they were very zealous about it, to the point of killing people who disagreed with them, which, by the way, they tried to do with Paul several times. But the point is, accurate knowledge about God's will is necessary for salvation. Now, that's like a 2-ton sledgehammer thrown right down into the midst of the church today, and you might be having a little bit of trouble with it yourself. The Christian faith is not eclectic. Whatever makes your boat float, it is very certain, it is very specific. This isn't a quote, "What difference does it make who's right? Let's just love Jesus and get along, right?" Come on, people, we can do better than that. Well, then let's just throw our Bibles away and believe whatever we want. I mean, as long as we're convinced we both love Jesus, what else matters? Well, other than the fact that it's bold-faced foolishness, what else could matter? Do we define what it means to believe in Jesus, or does He define it for us? If God didn't care what we believe, then why did He give us the Bible? Now, I'm going somewhere with this. I'm just trying to build a little bit of a foundation, because these concepts are so contrary to what the current church system has become. And I don't want to lose you partway through it. What's that, John? I know. Time is ticking away. You know, I have these notes sitting in front of me, and we're not getting through them very fast, but I just want to make sure we know there's a difference from everyone doing what is right in his own eyes to everyone doing what is right in God's eyes, because there's a huge difference. This is the age where the Christian church is largely doing their will for God rather than God's will for them. And again, there is a huge difference between the two. Ladies and gentlemen, fellers and fellows, we are talking about the difference between kingdom-focused Christianity and sectarian, wall-focused Christianity. Sectarianism in the church has been the dominant paradigm for the last 500 years, enough to make us feel like it must be all right. Kingdom-focused Christianity went underground after the first century, popped its head out now and then for extremely brief intervals in history, and now as we are, I repeat, and now as we are moving into the wrap-up of God's plan on earth, kingdom-focused Christianity is coming on the scene full force, and those who hold on to the old wineskin of sectarianism are going to be left in the rubble. So kingdom Christianity does not allow for people to believe whatever they want to believe, as long as they are personally comfortable with it, as long as it makes sense to them. Truth never has and never will subject itself to our personal fancies, opinions, and convictions. We are subject to it. It is not subject to us. Biblical truth is the authority of our faith and practice, not our personal opinion or interpretation of biblical truth. God never left the interpretation of Scripture up to man. He knew all too well where that would take us, exactly where we are today. He embedded the interpretation of Scripture within its pages. Scripture interprets Scripture. That was always the way it was meant to be, and any time there is a contradiction of beliefs within the church, as it is today, somebody or everybody is wrong. If people are just going to follow their own opinion about Scripture, then what value is it? And how is Christianity any different from any other religion? They all follow their own personal opinions. Are you kidding me? We're out of time? John, why do you do this to me? Just kidding, John. Okay, everybody, we'll be right back at you next time through. Keep your heads up, your hearts open. This was Luther Cannon.